evening, folks. You're listening to the Hour of the Time once again. And I know at least one member of the radio audience is out there sitting on the edge of his chair wondering exactly what I'm going to say. And you'll find out why that is later on in the broadcast. Tonight, though, we're going to talk about, remember one of the one of the poor misguided fools last night that called, accused me of being a con man because I asked for donations. Well, in the first place, the allegation was untrue. Here's what I really asked for. And you can go back and listen to all the episodes of the Hour of the Time, and you can see that it's absolutely true. What I said is exactly this. I can't go out and work like the rest of you anymore. Period. I can't go and give my speeches and, as Annie and I used to do, set up our table at symposiums and conferences and things like that and sell our books and materials, videotapes and tapes of the Hour of the Time. Can't do it. And what I told you is because of that, the Hour of the Time is in danger of going off the air. This is my work. This is what I do. I do research. I do this broadcast. I spread information. Always sourced. Always with the caveat. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe exactly nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. Including me. I've always told you, if you don't get any worth out of this broadcast, if it's not worth something from you, if you do not derive real value from this broadcast, go listen to somebody else turn your radio off. But if you do, since this is my work, I'm entitled to be paid for it. And if you believe that it's worth something to you, then please, if you want to keep this broadcast on the air, send a donation as payment for what you've derived from all of these years that we have given you. It's expensive to do this. It costs a lot of money. That's what I said. Now, I'm going to play a little music here, and then we're going to open the phones, and what I want you to do is call in. We're going to talk about what you do to make a living. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Mysterious music, huh, folks? That's because we're going to get to the bottom of a mystery. Yes, we are. You don't know what the mystery is yet, but I guarantee you, before this broadcast is over, we're going to get to the bottom of a mystery. Are you intrigued? Stay tuned. Phones are open, 520-333-4578, and they'll be open for the rest of the broadcast. May take a couple of more musical breaks just to give people a little break from the monotony. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I want to tell you that one of the reasons I support you is that the media as we know it to get today are there not to entertain, but to deliver an audience to the advertisers. And I know what you do, and I know what you use my money for. So I'm in your camp. I don't believe everything you say. In fact, I only believe maybe one third of what you say.
You shouldn't believe everything anybody says. Aren't I the only one that you've ever heard on radio that says read everything, listen to everyone, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research, including me? Have you ever heard anybody else ever say that?
Absolutely not.
Okay, and I mean that sincerely. You shouldn't ever believe what I say just because I say it. You shouldn't believe anything anyone says unless you personally, in your own research, can prove it. And I said that over and over and over again over the years.
Damn straight, man. Damn straight. Anyway, what I do for a living?
Yeah.
Work for a scientific instrument company, and I do a little bit of design work on electronics and in optics. And I've been here for 30 years and never made awful lot of money, but I have a lot of fun at it.
But you get paid, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
Would you go there every day and do that work for the same number of hours every single if you didn't get paid?
No, if I didn't get paid, I would come out and work with you.
Well, then you really wouldn't get paid.
Well, let's put it this way. I, at this stage in my life, I could afford to do that.
Yeah.
I'm 63.
Well, that's good. I got to tell you, I know who you are. You've called in many times, and you'd certainly be welcome here. Whether you believe just one-third of what I say or not, that tells me that you're an intelligent person, and if you did a little more research, maybe you'd believe more of what I say, because everything I say is grounded in facts and documentation. But the fact is, you're not a fool, and I love that.
Well, I appreciate you saying so. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. I'm going to let somebody else get in.
Thank you. 520-333-4578. We're talking, what do you do? Call me up. Tell me, what do you do for a living? You know? It's important. We're going to solve a mystery tonight. And it appears to be a great mystery amongst a great number of Americans who are really confused on a lot of subjects. So it's important that you participate in this. And all I want to know is, what do you do? Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fireman by trade.
Uh-huh.
And if I didn't get paid, I wouldn't do it either.
It's pretty dangerous, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
And I know, let me tell you something about firemen right off the bat. I put firemen at the top of the list of all public servants because they don't have this power thing. They don't have to have a gun on their hip. They're not trying to make up for some lack of masculinity or inferiority complex. They're good people who get a job, go and get trained and get a job as a fireman because they really, truly feel good about themselves, their community, and they want to help. So right off the bat, you're number one in my eyes. They're at the top of the list of all public services in this entire country are firemen, and you don't get paid a whole hell of a lot of money, do you?
No, we don't.
And but
like you said, it's the call to serve.
Yeah, but it's dangerous. And without being paid, you couldn't do it, even if you were the most altruistic person in the entire world, right?
No, I can do it very well.
No, and sure. You couldn't support your family, could you?
Not at all.
Do you have a family?
Yes, I do.
How many children do you have?
I got 2 little kids, nice wife.
Uh-huh.
We're happy.
And do you think you're entitled to be paid for your work?
Yes, I do.
Does that have something?
Just like you.
Yeah.
You are entitled to be paid for what you're doing right now.
Well, does it have something to do with America and the way America started out to be? It does, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Isn't it that the very foundation that people should be entitled to the fruits of their labors?
They should.
Absolutely. Okay.
I got your email, your address in my email today, and I will send you some support so you can stay on the air because I thoroughly enjoy your show, sir.
Okay, now I know who you are. Thank you. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Bye.
He had sent, I didn't know who, he, I didn't know this was him. He had sent me an email earlier today asking for my address so he could send a donation because he felt that he was getting real value from listening to this broadcast. He didn't feel it was a con job. he thought that I was doing real work and educating him, and he thought that he got value for that, and he wanted to send a donation, and he didn't know the address. So I sent him the address in an email. I did not know that that was him on the phone. I don't know who you are when you send me email. Email addresses don't tell you anything, unlike phone calls. I love it. I absolutely love it. 520-333-4578 is the number. Whoever that was hung up, that's okay. Chicken pluckers abound recently. I mean, I don't know why. All I want to know is, what do you do? And what's it worth to you? Is it worth anything? Do you think that you should be paid for what you do? 520-333-4578. And I promise you, before this evening's over, we're going to solve a mystery that most Americans seem to be very, very confused about. I remember the first year or two, well, maybe three. I think it took about 3 years before the freeloaders got the message that since I was paying for this broadcast, it wasn't theirs to come on and spout their propaganda and agenda and you know, all their other stuff. It belonged to me. And if they wanted to be my guest and be polite and be intelligent, they were welcome. If they weren't, they were not welcome. Good evening. You're on the air. Another chicken plucker. Can't believe it. What's going on here? That's really weird. Two in a row. I wonder if that could be that gym guy that was calling last night just trying to disrupt the program. I don't know if it is or not. Not accusing him of anything tonight, because I don't know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, how are you doing this evening?
Good.
Shep from South Jersey.
Hi, Shep.
I rent tablecloths for parties.
You rent tablecloths for parties?
Yipper.
Okay.
And work for the government half the year, and then I got a few bucks left.
What do you do for the government?
I work for them so I can send them money.
I mean, what? Oh, you mean you're trying to say you're a taxpayer.
I'm a taxpayer. And, you know, I support what you do to the best of my ability, and I certainly think that I enjoy your show because there's virtually no commercials on it, and if there are, they're worthwhile. So that's what I do.
Well, don't you think that, you know, you should get radio for free?
Well, actually, no.
Is there such thing as free radio?
There is no such thing as a free lunch.
No, not in any way, shape, or form. Unless you're a Marxist or a communist.
Well, then I still got to pay for your lunch.
then everything's got to be free, you know?
I'll have to think about that one. That sounds good.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it?
Thank you very much.
If it's really attractive, you know, Castro's looking for new recruits.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to get myself an inner tube and float right over here.
I like your sense of humor. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Oh, boy. You can't just see the little Marxists just squirming in their chairs? I bet they're not working for free. Yet they expect everything to be handed to them on a silver platter for free. And if it's not, then you're a con man or a fraud. Or you're not credible because you charge for your book or your information. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you about my job.
Yeah?
Well, I get paid to go out to the universities and hand out free copies of the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx and Frederick Engels.
Yeah?
Yep.
And who pays you?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would.
Well,
see, you see, because I think you're a liar.
It's a government grant.
I think you're a liar. Who pays you to hand out Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto on universities?
Actually, I'm sort of an independent one.
That's what I thought. You're a liar. Bye-bye, Marxy. See what I mean, folks? Isn't that stupid? Why didn't he just call up and say, you know, I'm a Marxist, I believe in socialism, and I go out and I print these things, and I go out on college campuses and I hand them out because I believe Marxism is the way the world should go. He's a coward. He doesn't have the courage of his convictions. He can't promote his own political viewpoints. He has to call up and lie and say somebody paid him to do it. And the instant he said that, I knew it was a lie. because socialists and communists don't pay anybody anything to hand out any of their literature. They find little puppets to do it for free. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's Wayne from North Carolina.
Hi, Wayne.
I don't know what's going on with this program the last two nights. I mean, it's just incredible, the callers. I mean, we get good callers, Virginia, for instance, last night. But, I mean, where are all the nuts coming from all of a sudden?
Well, if you'll go to the website and read the stories that are there, you'll instantly recognize what's going on.
All right, and I have one last statement, and I'll let go.
Okay.
Folks ought to be reminded television isn't even free.
No, of course not.
You can't get all the channels you want for free on television.
Well, even if you could, they're not for free. Advertisers pay for it. Like, if you live in a city where you have three local stations and you put up an antenna and you get it, you're not getting it for free. Somebody's paying for it. It costs millions of dollars to run a TV station. Advertisers are paying for it, and you pay for it by having to be interrupted in your programming and watch those advertisements. And if you don't think the advertisements influence how you think, then you got to screw loose, because sooner or later you're going to go buy some of those products, whether you want to or not. You've been brainwashed watching those ads over and 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 over again until it's an automatic response.
Well, I certainly hope that your pre-legal sponsorship works for you.
Well,
it's
never going to pay for all the broadcast time, but it's going to help. And, you know, every little bit helps.
And
I'll tell you something. Bart is such a wonderful guy, and he married such a wonderful girl. And Janelle is pregnant now, so they're going to have a little baby. I'll do anything to help them out.
Well, I appreciate it, Bill. Thanks. It's a good show.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Amazing how a country founded in freedom, based upon the opportunity for anyone and everyone to rise to the pinnacle of their abilities and be paid for whatever they produce, whether it be digging a hole with a shovel, or writing a book, are starting a factory and creating some kind of a business, could produce worthless, scum-sucking parasites that believe that if you charge for your services, you're a con man. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I just
want
to say I don't really get paid for my job. I'm a mom.
Yeah.
And I have two children.
But you do get paid.
Well,
that's a job.
It's a reward, I guess.
Well, it's more than a reward. I mean, you get a goodly percentage of what your husband brings in. You get the, you know, I hate this feminist idea that tells women like you that somehow what you do is not worth it. It is a job. It's a hard job. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world, and it's one of the most responsible jobs, because you are responsible directly for shaping the minds of those children and creating literally the family environment that shapes the morals and the ethics and the future of this country. That is by far and large the job of moms.
I do agree with that.
And you should be so proud.
I am. I'm very proud.
And I disagree that you're not paid. I would say that you're paid in a lot of ways, unless you've got a husband who's a real, you know what. And I'm not going to get into that. I hope that's not the case. And you're not commenting, so maybe it is. I don't know, but
well, my husband happens to be the fellow that you keep advertising that you're going to release some information about later on.
I haven't said anything about releasing any information about anybody. Do you have a guilty conscience?
Do you want to talk to him?
No. Why should I want to talk to him? He's done nothing but try to disrupt this broadcast. Have I mentioned his name? Have I said anything about him? What I said is I'm going to reveal the solution to a mystery that has somehow corrupted the minds of many Americans. Is he guilty of that?
Well, going to reveal the solution to a mystery.
Haven't you been listening to this broadcast?
I haven't been listening, but I'm tuned in now.
Oh, I see. He did it to you again.
No,
the coward actually had you call again.
No, I called on my own tonight.
Then if you weren't listening, why did you call on your own? And where did you get the idea that something was going to be revealed about him?
When
I never said anything. I never said anything like that.
Well, why did you call our home and hang up? That's what I was curious, because your number came back.
I always do that with people who harass this broadcast, because we have caller identification, and I want to know who they are.
So you call them back.
If somebody called you and harassed you, or if somebody called you and made obscene phone calls, or if somebody called you and threatened you, or if somebody called you and disrupted your family, wouldn't you want to know who they are? Wouldn't you? Stop listening to your listening to your public puppet master back there.
No, but what I'm going to say, I'm not listening to anyone except you. Right?
Yes, you are. I can hear him in the background. I can hear your pauses. Just like last night, there was this big pregnant pause while you listened to him pull your strings like the dummy puppet that you are. Buenas noches. You're so stupid. And you feel so guilty. And you actually thought that I was going to do something to you? I don't do that kind of thing. Only you kinds of people do those kinds of things. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Nick and Charlotte. How you doing?
Hi, Nick.
We're talking about what people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an engineer.
What kind of engineer?
Electrical.
And what does that involve?
Design power systems and light systems and computer networks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
For different kinds of buildings. And, yeah, I tend to agree with you.
You tend to agree with me? Agree with me?
No, I do agree with you. This is the way I speak. Okay. I tend to agree with you because I don't understand how anyone that works hard and pays the taxes that they do pay actually wants to pay more, or actually wants more government programs, which means more government money, which means more taxes on you. I don't see how anyone that wants to work hard or believes or has a strong work ethic could buy into socialism. I just don't understand that. I argue about that with my coworkers lots of times, especially this one guy I work with is an English guy. And we have that discussion fairly often about taxes and programs and handouts and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they think they're entitled to it.
Yeah, for some reason. I mean, if you want to give someone something out of the kindness of your heart, that's fine.
Yeah.
But anytime you're coerced into doing it, then, you know, it's not your free will. You're doing it at the point of a gun or at the threat of force or something like that.
Yeah, nobody's entitled to those things. You're entitled to an opportunity. You're entitled to the pursuit of happiness.
That's right. Whether you pursue it or not, it's up to you.
Yeah, and if you don't pursue it, and if you don't have any talents, and if you don't work hard, and if you don't try to turn, you know, whatever it is that you have that's capable of producing something into actual production, then the law of nature says, die, sucker. Only
basically, you don't adapt. You won't excel.
Yeah, but only in our society. We're such a good society and such a good country, we won't even let that happen.
Right, right. I think, though, that the people that head up these programs, the government officials or whatever, whoever they are, I think they play on people's emotions because people by nature, I believe, are good. And, you know, you start tugging at the heartstrings and stuff like that and people become more receptive to that kind of a message.
Well, I can tell you that you're very naive. Let me tell you, I used to believe exactly the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I used to believe the American people are so smart and so good in their basic nature until I started trying to educate them and tell them what's happening and documenting things and proving things to them. And I have been so disappointed in the realization that most of the American people are actually stupid. There's a greater number that are ignorant, and you know, ignorant. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant until you hear the truth, and if you reject it, then you become stupid.
That's right.
And most people are greedy and selfish, and they are not basically good at all. If they can get away with it, they'll prove to you that that's just not true. Now, that doesn't mean all people are like that. There are some really decent, wonderful, just great people in this world who would never hurt anybody or take advantage of anybody or steal from anybody, but most people would if they had the opportunity and really believed that they could get away with it. Unfortunately, that's, you know, I've learned that over many years the hard way.
Well, I see what you're saying, because, I mean, I've seen that too at work. We were talking the other day about, if you have a large amount of money on you, you can have it seized and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Whether you've committed anything wrong or not.
Yeah.
You go through airport metal detectors, and they can basically tell how much cash you have on you.
Yeah.
And I was telling that to my English friend, and he promptly says, well, you're being paranoid. I said, no, I'm not paranoid. I don't think anyone's chasing me down. And
well, tell, ask him to draw out $20,000 from his account and go to the airport and pay for a ticket with cash.
Yeah, that's true.
He even gets to the boarding gate, he will be detained. He will be strip searched. And they will take every penny that he has, because if you have that much cash, you're a drug dealer.
Well, you don't even need $20,000. Pull out $5,000 to buy a ticket to Miami.
I'm just using that as an example.
You're absolutely right.
And they will take every penny of it. They will. You don't even have to be charged with a crime, and you'll never see that money again.
That's right.
And there's literally nothing you can do to get it back.
That's right. Well, nice talking to you.
And that's in America. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Don't you think it's funny, folks, that the miserable, stinking coward that has devoted his life to trying to disrupt this broadcast actually conned his wife again into making a call for him because he knows that I'll dump him the instant I hear his miserable, stinking, Marxist, socialist voice? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
I'm retired.
Yeah.
And I would like to give you two areas in the Bible that explains the whole situation of what you're talking about tonight. The first one is, a man is worthy of his hire. And the other one is about the master who gave his three servants 10 talents, 5 talents, and 1 talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains very clearly what happened with those three people. And the man you were just talking to about good, people being good, and in the Old Testament it makes it very clear the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for everything you've done, and I've listened to you for many years. And one other thing, Phil, maybe some of those callers that when you say hello, you're on the air, maybe there might be a problem that they can't get through at times.
Oh, that's always possible, yeah. But I like to do the chicken plucker thing, because it makes people think before they call. Am I really going to stay on until he answers, or am I going to hang up or something?
Well,
you know, people know whether they got cut off accidentally or whether they hung up. It's like the old thing, you know, if you're walking down the street and I come running out of a bank and I say, stop that bank robber! Stop that bank robber! Are you going to start running away from me? Not unless you robbed the bank, right?
That's right.
Okay, there you go.
But then again, the heart is desperately wicked.
Yep.
In all people. But I thank you for your caring, and I wish your family Godspeed.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Well, that's neat. She's been listening for many years, but that's the first time that I've ever heard her call, because I would recognize that voice anywhere, and if she ever calls again, I will know exactly who it is. 520-333-4578 is the number. Isn't it, you know, incredible how people get in? I actually had somebody, I was giving this.
I'm at a cell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a plumber by trade.
Okay.
And I believe in what you're saying is true, because
would you,
those people.
If I was building a house, would you plumb it for me for free?
I don't think so. I don't know how my three children would eat.
No, and not only that, but Joe across the street who's building his house would all of a sudden be over wanting you to plumb his house for free, too.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that goes without saying with your own relatives.
Yeah. So do you think I'm a con artist because I ask people if they believe that they're deriving worth from my work on this broadcast, that I'm a con artist?
No, no way at all.
Do you think my work is worth something?
Of course it is.
Yeah, and not only that, but most people charge a specific amount for their work, and I tell people, send whatever you think it's worth.
Well, which is very humble in a way of its own.
Well, not only that, it could result in a whole bunch of dimes or nickels, but
yeah,
that would be fine for me if that's what they genuinely thought it was worth.
Right. Now, just getting to, may I change the subject a minute?
Sure.
Yeah. And when you were talking about how people agree and disagree with you, I disagree with you on one of your subjects about overpopulation of the globe.
Well, you're perfectly welcome to do that.
And my feeling is this, when I drive up to northern Connecticut, up in the woods up there, and I look around the vastness that could be occupied with all the resources, and not only that, but it's God's plan in my mind, that he would not have put us here without knowing, supplying us with those resources, that we would be overpopulating it. That's just my feeling.
Well, the truth is, if you do a little experimental mathematics based upon the exponential increase in population over the years and project that into the future, one day you're going to drive up into the woods and there's not going to be any woods. It's just going to be all people, and there won't be any resources.
I believe that wholeheartedly, and I think that before that comes,
see,
God has a plan.
But wait a minute. See, you guys misunderstand what I'm saying. There definitely is a population problem. I believe that absolutely, and eventually it's going to reach a crisis stage. But I do not believe, as the ruling elite believe, that they should be creating diseases and crises and wars and things to solve it. I believe,
like you,
that God will take care of it. The laws of nature will prevail. And if we get out of hand, I mean, something will happen to take care of it without us having to murder each other.
Exactly.
And I've always said that.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, I don't care if you disagree with me. It doesn't bother me a bit, and I encourage you to disagree with everybody everywhere, because that's the only way we can ever be free. If you stop believing blindly and following the leadership of people just because they say something. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Thanks for taking my call tonight. Enjoying the show. I have a question. I had emailed you some time back about the monument or the, what was it, the, the secret society's, building or whatever on the site of the Oklahoma City bombing,
mm-hmm.
and had the reflecting pool and so on.
Yeah.
Could you just kind of discuss a little bit further?
No, because I don't have photographs of the whole thing, but I can guarantee you it is a product of the mystery religion.
Right.
It is a pagan temple, without any doubt whatsoever. I do have some photographs. But what I need is aerial photographs. I need photographs from every angle, the whole thing. And then, you bet your butt I will do a broadcast that will singe the hairs off of everybody in Oklahoma City that allowed it to happen.
Okay, and I think that would be interesting because I did happen to just see it on a news report or what have you.
Yeah, go to anywhere where these people have committed their dastardly deeds. Go to Washington, D.C. What do you see? The Washington Monument. Why should an obelisk be a monument to George Washington?
Well, I said
at the end of a reflecting pool that points the reflection toward the Oval Office, which is in fact an egg from which the future world is supposed to hatch.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. But I knew as soon as I saw the reflecting pond and the whole thing there, I thought, we got a problem here.
Yep, got a big problem.
And thanks
to you. The biggest problem is the vast number of American people are so stupid
right.
that they allow these symbolic temples to be built, these pagan temples to be built, for things that they would never allow them to be built for. I would bet that most of the people who suffered from the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building bombing are Christians.
Oh, sure.
And they would not stand for it for one moment if they really knew
what
that meant.
But, you know, and thanks to you, I at least had the, you know, the things to put that together and say, yeah, this is a problem too. As if we didn't know. Obviously, that was a pretty certain thing. But when I saw that, I went, you know, kind of like you.
I got to tell you, you're absolutely right. And I got to take credit for this. And I'm going to take credit for it because I deserve it. And I worked hard for many, many years to reveal it. Without this broadcast, nobody in the world would know the meaning of what's in Dealey Plaza or what's been erected in Oklahoma City, are the, you know, a lot of other things. They just wouldn't have no conception whatsoever.
And they certainly repeat it, don't they?
They sure do.
Yeah.
They speak in a symbolic language.
Right. And it doesn't seem to change either. They do speak to the to their buddies on the media in architectural terms,
yep,
kind of, don't they?
You got it.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Bill.
You're welcome.
Good luck to you.
Thank you for calling.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. What do you do? What do you do for a job? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Steve from up in Maine.
Hi, Steve.
I did a little research several years back about the Masonic Lodges, and you know that, was it 56 of the first 61 signers of the Declaration were Masons?
Yep.
And, you know, that's always bothered me because, you know, I love my country. I'm a patriot. And
why did it bother you? They gave us freedom.
Because I've always thought highly of those folks, and so I went back to check a little bit more, and I found...
You shouldn't think highly of them. They gave us the opportunity to prove that this blueprint of giving freedom to the common man could work, common man could be responsible and could rule himself and could keep his government in check.
Right.
And they didn't let us down.
No.
We let them down.
I think.
And now they're going to take it back.
Well, what I found was that there was a lodge down in Portsmouth, Virginia, that started accepting folks that were escaping from the French Revolution. These were people who were either Grand Orient or Illuminist.
Illuminati, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's where they came in and started infiltrating the lodges and turning the lodges from what I, and this is just my theory now, I don't have any proof, that they were a fairly benevolent, benign group until the Illuminati began to infiltrate.
Not true. Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington were all members of that organization.
Would you say that that's a fair theory,
quite,
though?
Quite a few more, as a matter of fact. Thomas Paine absolutely was a member of the Illuminati.
Right. Would you agree that the lodge was changed by that?
No. I believe the lodge became radicalized by that, but the goal of the lodge was always to do away with all existing governments, all existing religions, and shackle the mob if they could not prove that freedom would work.
So these founding fathers were then just ignorant of what went on at the 33rd degree?
No, they called it what it was, the grand experiment. And they told us exactly what would happen if it didn't work.
Huh.
Start reading what they wrote with open eyes and open ears. Don't be narrow-minded. Don't miss what they told us in their writings and in their speeches, because they told us exactly what they were doing. They called it the grand experiment, and they told us exactly what would happen. If it didn't work, the human race would be enslaved once again.
I got one last question for you, Bill. And this is something you obviously can choose not to answer, but I assume you are a Christian and consider yourself a believer.
Absolutely.
Can you just share with me briefly, what is your eschatology?
My what? My what?
Your belief as to the timing of end-time events, etc. Or do you not have any specific beliefs along those lines?
He who thinks he knows the day that Jesus will return is ensuring that he will not be here on that day.
Well, I guess I'm referring more specifically
That's my eschatology. I'm telling
you
right now.
You're not believing in this pre-rapture,
absolutely not. And when he comes, he'll come like a thief in the night, and nobody will know when he's coming. And anybody who professes to know, like that fake fraud brother Stare, is a fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
False
I was raised
prophet.
To believe that, you know, we're all going to float to heaven on a cloud of glory, and we won't have to suffer for the Lord, blah, 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 you know.
Well, it's just not true, and ain't nobody going to escape anything.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yep, false prophets come from Satan. if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you don't have to believe any of that. But that's what I believe. 520-333-4578 is the number, and I believe that if Satan exists anywhere in the universe, he exists in the human heart. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Sure.
This is Ryan in South Carolina.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, good to talk to you. I was going to let you know I'm a dump truck driver.
Yeah?
And I wouldn't do it for free.
Well, that's pretty hard work, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I was going to let you know that most of what you say I agree with, there's only one area where I disagree with you on, that I can tell anything big, major.
Yeah?
You're still my hero, one of my heroes, and I say...
well, don't leave us hanging. Where's the area you disagree with me?
race. On the race issue.
Oh, you believe that that there is a master race?
No, sir. No, sir. Absolutely not.
Well, okay, then explain that.
I believe that God created the different races, and I believe that it behooves us and it is best for us to be separate. I don't believe he made one race superior over another. Well, I believe he made us different.
Well, good for you. I believe he made us different, too. And I don't believe that he made one race superior over any other either. But
no,
I believe...
I am not a white supremacist. I am a white separatist. I am not a white supremacist.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that in this country, we should have the freedom that as long as we're not harming anyone else, you could be a black separatist, a white separatist, a Jewish separatist. In fact, most Jews are separatists. They always live in their own little ghettos. Blacks tend to congregate together.
Of course, it's nature, sir.
It's a natural
thing. It's nature created by Yahweh God.
Well, I don't know if it's created by Yahweh God, but it's a natural thing between people. But I also believe that if people are attracted to each other and they fall in love and they're not hurting anybody else, I believe in the human race. And that's my belief. But you're entitled to your belief. This is a free country. See, above all, I believe in freedom with responsibility. And as long as you're not hurting or harming the person or property of any other human being, you're entitled to believe whatever the hell you want to believe.
Man, that's why I consider you one of the greatest living patriots today. And I think that your message is very strong. I got a question. Did you receive, I sent you a package a while back.
What was it?
It had some barbecue sauce in it.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much. In fact, I talked about it on the air one night.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't get to hear you every night.
You must have missed that broadcast because I talked about it, because I do a lot of barbecuing out
okay.
here in the back.
So you like the Maurice barbecue sauce?
I like it all. I like barbecue. I like barbecue sauce. Right. I like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I like
hickory chips.
Okay,
I like,
you received the CD then?
Yeah.
Okay, great. If you like it, sauce, I'll be glad to send you some more.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, and
thank
I'll be glad you. To send you a... you are correct in supporting one another and men. You know, that there is another scripture that says that we shouldn't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn.
Yep, that's right.
And you are a man that does need to be supported, especially given your situation. It would behoove us. Now, the one thing that had frustrated me a while back, if you remember, I had sent off your book. I was dying to read your book. And I sent you the money, and something happened there. I don't know what the deal was.
You didn't
I believe
get it?
You were having a problem with some woman that was working with you or something.
Oh, yours was one of the ones that got... Well, send me a letter. I'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Wait
a minute. I can't take care of it because I can't get any more copies of my book.
Don't worry about it. I got it. I ordered it from Barnes & Noble's.
Yeah.
And I got it from there, and I have read it.
Well, you see, I can't even get a copy of my own book from the publisher because she is stealing my book from me. She has never paid any of the license fees to publish the book. I get no money from my book. So every time you buy a book from her, you're literally making her rich, and I'm not even getting a penny. I don't get a penny from the publisher for the book, although she contracted with me to pay 10% of the purchase price on every purchased book. And I haven't received a payment from her for years.
Well, I will. I'll be glad. That's kind of a indigenous barbecue sauce here. That's an individual. He's a big Confederate flag man, and he's been in trouble here because.
Well, good for him.
Walmart took his sauce off the shelves here, and said they would not sell it anymore because they claimed that he was some sort of white supremacist because he happened to have some racial beliefs. And so he's been selling his sauce on the internet, but I can get it for you. I'll be glad to send you some.
People in this country had better to head straight about what freedom really means.
I know, sir. I agree with you. Now, I am, like I said, I am a white separatist. I do believe people have a right to marry whom they wish. I know that you're married to an Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love you. I still think you're a great patriot. I talk to my fellow racialists, and we feel the same. We have our particular beliefs.
You're entitled to those beliefs, like I said, as long as you do not injure the person or property of any other human being.
Exactly.
Because of those beliefs.
And if you listen to my CD, you know that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're doing a great job, sir, and I'll get you some sauce and a little offering there to you.
Thank you very much.
And you keep the good job up, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's amazing. People don't understand what freedom really means. They think that freedom means that everybody else has to conform to what they believe and what they want. The truth is, that's not true at all. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Missed most of your program tonight, but just got home. I'm calling about something a fellow talked about last night, about the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
I had a buddy of mine went to D.C. last summer and picked up some parchments in, like, a gift shop at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them away until last night. And after your program, I pulled them out and checked them out.
Mm-hmm.
But one of these parchments apparently is a copy of the Bill of Rights. The odd thing is that there are 12 articles. And as the gentleman said...
Nope, it's absolutely, totally wrong.
Well, I will make a copy of this and send it to you.
Well, you can make a copy and send it to me. And what I'll do is come on the air and I'll see, hey, this guy has got this, you know, they sold him this thing. Maybe they're trying to just dumb people down even further with this stuff.
Well, that's pretty strange.
Because the truth is, the Bill of Rights is 10 amendments,
right.
Period. And it is an integral part of the Constitution because the 13 colonies refused to adopt the Constitution without the inclusion of the first 10 amendments, which were the Bill of Rights, in order to make sure that the government could not become despotic and take away the rights of the people. So they had to ensure that those rights were protected solidly. So those first 10 amendments are an integral part of the Constitution, and the Constitution is not the Constitution without them.
Right.
There were not 12, there were not 13, there were not 26, there were not 7, there were 10, and the second article and amendment is...
The right to keep and bear arms.
You better believe it.
This is signed by John Adams. It's very strange, and I intend to...
Maybe it was his proposal to the Constitutional Convention, which was later overruled or changed.
Right.
Maybe this guy didn't know what he was buying. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, another thing is that those idiots that were calling last night with criticism.
Anybody, I've had criticism tonight, but they were polite, and they were intelligent, and they were right in their capacity to believe what they want to believe or to disagree with what I say or what anybody else says.
Well, Bill, I want to tell you, one of my favorite shows, one of my favorite Hour of the Time shows is the night that the skinhead gave Doyle so much trouble.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, man, that was just, that was a masterful work.
Well,
Bill, I laid in my bed and cried. It was beautiful what you did with that guy.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, I mean, that's such a success story. And I'd love to hear you do that with some of these people.
Well,
I can't do it.
You see, I could do it with him because he was sincere.
Right.
He wasn't calling to disrupt the broadcast. He was calling because he believed what he believed, and he thought that we were wrong. And Doyle didn't know how to communicate with him. And so I had to come in. But these other people, they're not calling because they disagree or that they believe that they're calling to disrupt because they're socialists or Zionists who are taking great exception to the stories that we've posted on our website right now, nailing the true perpetrators of the Oklahoma City bombing and a whole bunch of other things. And if you go to our website and you read those, you'll know why they're calling and what they're really up to.
Been there and done that.
All right.
I started listening to you in about, I think about 91.
In fact, usually they send people out to kill you when you do things like that.
Oh, I've been doing what I'm doing for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Since I was 16 years old, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I've suffered a lot of criticism myself and lost a lot of friends. And it's been a pretty hard struggle. But I have to tell you, I really respect what you're doing. I really appreciate it. And keep up the good work, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Me too.
520-333-4578. We've got about three or four more minutes. Enough time for maybe two or three more calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I just want to clear up that little thing.
Turn your radio off. Turn your radio off. Off.
The Congress sent out 12 amendments to the states, and the states ratified 3 through 12,
mm-hmm.
which became 1 through 10.
Yes.
That's how the story went.
Well, I'm aware of that, but these people are saying that they got a copy of the Bill of Rights, and it says that there were 12 amendments.
Right. What I've seen the same thing. What they're referring to is the original document that went out to the states for ratification.
Yeah. And the first two amendments were eliminated. They're not practicing due diligence when they buy something. They're not asking what is this, and they're not reading what it really is, and they're believing that it's something else.
Right. It's not. Yeah. What they sent out was 12, and what was actually ratified was 10. And of course, the batch that they sent out originally, they eliminated 1 and 2. The 1 and 2 were not ratified, and therefore the Second Amendment was originally the 4th and now is the 2nd.
Yeah.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. So all you guys that bought the wrong copy of the Bill of Rights, you know, that's the story. See, without being able to see what you got, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. All I know is that you got it all out of sequence. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I got a different angle on the job experience.
Yeah?
I got laid off a couple of days ago.
Well, it's not job experience. It's whether you're worth, you know, what your work is.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, I got laid off, and, you know, today I had a good interview at another place of employment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I theoretically have the option to file for unemployment, but I'm too busy trying to find another job and not particularly interested in going down and sitting in some state office and filling out a bunch of paperwork. And, you know, I fully expect that I'll have a job before I probably get a check coming from the state unemployment office. But it's, you know, part of the reason that I'm looking for a job is that I haven't really developed a career. And, you know, I've had, you know, a lot of different jobs, enjoyed a lot of different experiences, lived in a bunch of different places.
You sound like most people, including me for a good portion of my life.
Yeah. But there is a tendency, you know, I'm surrounded by people and I hear people, you know, people's perspectives on it. And there are people who enjoy good times in their youth, don't particularly keep their nose to the grindstone, don't really develop a career. And at a certain point in their life, when they find out that they don't like the jobs that are offered to them, they start to get an attitude that they've been cheated somehow.
Yeah, they cheated themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's a sentiment that, you know, runs rife and makes people cleave to socialist rhetoric.
Yeah, well, those people have to be put in their place and told in no uncertain terms that if their life is miserable, like Karl Marx's life was miserable, because he couldn't hold a job either. He couldn't develop a career. He was a failure, miserable failure in everything that he ever tried. He ended up hating Jews. He was a Jew. He ended up hating the working class. He hated blacks. He hated Hispanics, minorities. He hated, literally hated everybody. He hated capitalists and people who owned companies. And what he developed was a system not to help the common man, or what he called the masses, but to control the entire society so that he wouldn't be a failure anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Karl Marx, Bill, what is the symbolism in Pride? I've seen numerous pictures of the guy with his hands stuck in his coat. And I get the impression that he's doing that for a reason in those photograph portraits.
That's to, when you do that, when you disguise your hands, what you're saying is, I don't want to be responsible for what they've done.
I see.
In other words, he was denying his own work.
Interesting.
That's exactly what it is.
Consciously?
Absolutely.
I see.
Or maybe even subconsciously, but that's the psychology behind it. When you hide your hands, you're denying your work.
Interesting. All right, that's my perspective.
We're out of time. Got to go.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Kuhn Allison. I love you. And the revelation tonight that I told you we've solved this great mystery that most people are confused about, hey, it's simple. Socialism sucks. It's a lie. If you work, you're entitled to be paid for your work, whatever it is. And all you little socialists and cowards and liars and disruptors and all you people who don't understand that and always trying to destroy things and get things for free and all that kind of stuff, hey, you know what? You're always going to be miserable. You're always going to be poor. You're always going to be sorry. You're always going to be looking up to somebody else and be jealous of them because they're doing it better or saying it better or they've got more or they've earned more or they've worked harder and they're respected more because you don't have it. You are cowards in life. Don't miss Monday night's broadcast, folks. And, you know, we'll talk about some other things. And don't be disrupting this broadcast, because if I really want to, I can name, your address, your phone number, your whole life, where you work, who your wife is, everything. Remember, I'm the director of the intelligence service for the Second Continental Army of the Republic Militia, and we don't play around. I learned my trade in the Office of Naval Intelligence, and if you think you can screw around with me and I won't know who you are the stupidest fool that ever lived. And it don't have a damn thing to do with call waiting. Am I right, Library Road?
Monster.